Good to see everybody. Appreciate you being here, and we thank God for another time that we can come to Tabernacle Baptist Sunday School. Pray for our pastor as he'll be bringing the 11 o'clock message. Pray for every Sunday school teacher that God will use us in a mighty way. Thank you for being here. A lot to pray for. We still have a lot of people sick, a lot of people needing our prayers, and we'll get to that here in just a moment. But thank you so much for being here. We thank God for our church, what it stands for. If you'll take your bulletins, we're just going to cover just a few announcements this morning. Debbie Davis is the prayer chain captain this week, so if you have a prayer chain, never hesitate to call, and we'll get about 40-some people praying for you. So don't ever hesitate to call the prayer chain. There's going to be a Sunday school training April the 6th. I wish I could be there. It's on a Saturday. I have to work on Saturdays, but they say that this is going to be very well prepared for all the Sunday school teachers. Don't forget to pray about that. The upcoming spring revival, pray for that. It's going to be April the 28th through April the 30th. And we're looking forward to that revival. We thank God for it. Thank you, Brother Buck. Okay, and don't forget, now it says here the new Instagram page. We have a church Facebook, YouTube channel, and this week we created a church Instagram page, Tabernacle Baptist / Kingsport, Tennessee. So don't forget that. Another outreach, arm for outreach for our ministry, so we thank God for that. I want to read there at the bottom of the bulletin, it says, "Blessed Redeemer, much time has passed since Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, yet we still praise our Blessed Redeemer because we know what kind of King he is, an everlasting King who reigns over the entire earth. Today, let us praise him with all glory, laud, and honor. Praise Jesus, our Blessed Redeemer." So we thank God for that. Okay, we're going to have some prayer requests this morning. Anybody have a prayer request? Yeah, Miss Phyllis. Yes. And Robert, yes, ma'am. Now, Alan Collins still don't know when he's going to have the double lung transplant. Okay, got you. Don't forget to pray for these, Patsy and Charles. Patsy is your twin sister, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got you. All right, anybody else have a prayer request? Yes. No problem. Yeah, pray for my niece, Stephanie. This is my twin brother's oldest daughter. She's had a time. She's just got a rare condition, and they found another place that was bleeding next to her heart. It's a new place, and they had to do a surgery last night, and she's in Asheville Hospital. And just pray for her and pray for the family. Oh. How is Dewey doing? I heard that he had. Oh. I hate that. My goodness. Yes. Remember these three preachers. I bet. Okay, remember these in prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yeah, Sandy's stepfather's son His name is James Griffith. He is in the hospital. Is it in Princeton, West Virginia? He's only he's 60 years old, but he's in very, very bad shape. His health is just going downhill. And pray for this one. God knows who it is, James Griffith. Yeah, he's very sick. Pray that the Lord's will be done. All right. Anybody else? I want you to pray for Betty Collier. I think she's doing a little bit better from her fall. Don't forget to pray for Buck's granddaughter, Candy and Charity. The Lord will bring them back. Don't forget Ron and Joan. They'd love to be here. So many people to pray for. Yes, we lost a dear friend this week, Connie Jones. They were a member of Higher Ground Baptist, and we went to see. I couldn't go to the funeral on Saturday, so we went to see them at their house on Thursday, and they're doing okay. But we lost a soldier for the Lord. Oh yes, she's in heaven now, and we got to watch the funeral on the stream YouTube. So we got to watch the funeral yesterday. Okay, so many to pray about. Anybody else? All right, before Bruce and his grandson comes to sing, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for the day. Father, thank you for this church, what it stands for. We thank you for answered prayer. Father, so many are sick, Father, and some are in the hospital, some are at home. Father, we think of Stephanie Stevens. Lord, please, Lord, intervene and touch her body. We just pray that your will be done. Please give all the family grace during this time. And Father, we think of James Griffith, the son of Sandy's stepfather. We'll pray that you'll be with him, Lord. He's got so many complications, Lord. We pray that your will be done. We think of these that's gone away from the fold, Charity and Candy. Please bring them back. Buck's granddaughter, we pray that you'll bring her back. We think of Ron and Joan. We think of Ray and Sally, Hubert and Margie. They'd love to be here. We pray for Joe Robinette, Father. He's doing well. Alan Collins, we pray that your will be done, that he can get ready for this surgery and things have to happen. We pray that you'll be in the midst. And Father, we do pray for Patsy and Charles. Just be with them, Lord. And these three preachers that were mentioned, we think of Brian Thurman, Alan Black, and Dewey Williams. The work they've done for you, Father, we just pray that you'll be with them, be with their families, and touch their bodies if it be thy will. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. Be with each teacher. Give us boldness to teach your word and be with our pastor as he preaches 11 o'clock worship, Father. And we just pray, Lord, anybody comes into our Sunday school classes or church, 11 o'clock worship that are lost, that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, we praise you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all come.
You got a twin, huh?
Yes, sir.
I didn't know there was two of you.
That's a scary thought, ain't it?
That's a scary thought. Yeah, I don't know. Jesus is the light of my life. Every day, not just on Sunday. Every day, he's the light of my life. I don't know how people live without him. I don't know how they live without prayer. I have to pray all the time. I'm in trouble all the time with something. We got up this morning, my van didn't have heat. Didn't have a heater. It's not working. So yeah, I said, well, Lord, help me get it fixed. So you just have to get a hold of the Lord every time you got a problem. Jesus is the light of my life. I'm gonna let him shine. Jesus. mercy. Okay. If you didn't know, today's Palm Sunday. And in a week, it'll be Easter Sunday. The Lord came into town. They threw palm fronds in front of him. And they thought that he was going to come be a king. Get rid of that Roman Empire that was ruling them. But actually, he was coming to die a week later. So we're going to do Gone.
Is that
wrong?
Wrong key.
Put it up here. Put
yeah.
it up here.
Oh, whoops.
Go and do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We're in the wrong key. Forevermore.
Amen.
Not that great anymore.
That's right. That's right. Appreciate the singing. I seen Brother Collier come in. How's Sister Betty after her fall?
Good.
Oh, okay. Oh, it didn't hurt her knee, did it? That she had. Is her knee doing good? Is her knee doing good?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right, sounds wonderful. All right, I want to try to bring you a lesson here. If I had to give it a title, it would be No Doubts in Christ. Have you ever met people, some people that had a doubt about their faith? I have. And this, and some people are, it's normal. They may even ask, how do I know that what I have is true? God gave us His word and His promises that allows us to learn about Him and all He has done for us, and His word provides proof that Jesus is the Son of God. But you know, the devil loves to give people doubt in the back of their mind. I've known people down through the years, even church people, that for some reason they had a doubt about their faith. But the Bible makes it clear. The Old Testament gives us some of our strongest proof that Jesus was who he was and who he said he was. And the New Testament tells us so many times about what Jesus did, why he did it, and he did it for all mankind. You see, 1,000 years ago, before Jesus walked on earth, I was looking at Psalms this past week, and Psalms chapter 22 is what we're going to be talking about today. And you know, I've got some favorite Psalms out there like you all do. I love Psalms 46. I love Psalms 27, Psalms 91. And I didn't really look at Psalms 22 that much, and I started looking at that. And it tells us specific details about Christ's crucifixion and resurrection. It had been told about, even though the process of execution by crucifixion had not been invented yet. You see, the Holy Spirit works in so many marvelous ways, and in Psalms 22, we're going to be reading part of those verses here in just a few minutes. It tells us and gives us a picture of what's going to happen 1,000 years later. Can you imagine what's going to happen 1,000 years later from when this was wrote? So we ask ourselves the question, do we have the faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And that he died for all our sins. Do we have that faith? I hope that we do. Anytime the devil tries to put doubt into our mind, we can go directly to the scriptures. We can go to the scriptures, and we have proof what Christ did for us. We have proof that he did it for all mankind. He shed his blood for each and every one of us. I want you to turn to Psalms 22. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 and then skip down to 14 through 25. Psalms 22, starting with verse 1. This is a psalm of David. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those words sound familiar. Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. And then verse number 7, it says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head. And I want you to go to verse 14. It says, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like a wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my venture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye that seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And then verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation, and I will pay my vows before them that fear him. When I was trying to look at this Psalms 22, I had read it before, but really didn't concentrate on what it was saying. And these verses predicted what would happen to Jesus 1,000 years later. It's just amazing how the Holy Spirit can work in these writers. And this Psalm of David told about this. And I want to talk about that this morning just for a few minutes. I want you to notice verse 1 that we read. It gives us the exact words that Jesus uttered while dying on the cross. You see, the Holy Spirit works in miraculous ways, especially here in this book of Psalms, chapter 22. David knew through the Holy Spirit what was going to happen 1,000 years later. He wanted to give people a picture of what was going to happen, and that the Son of God would die for all mankind and pay the price for all our sins. You see, this Psalm of David, he knew the Son of God would cry out those words from our Savior's lips, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even though he was going to follow the Heavenly Father's will, 1,000 years later, David knew that he was going to go through a stage in his life when he would cry out for help. I want to go to Matthew chapter 27. You've heard these verses before, but I want to read Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Matthew 27, 45, 46 says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I think it's just wonderful when you study this Psalms 22, that what David had on his heart was going to happen several hundred years later. Look at verse number 2. In verse number 2 of our scripture, it says, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. I think here David is mourning over what seems like an unanswered prayer. A begging for help perhaps feels abandoned by God. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever went through a valley, a trial, a storm that you felt like that you were abandoned by God? And it's human for us to ask why. We go through valleys and storms in our life, and David was crying out for help here. He thought that God had abandoned him, even though all this was to follow the Heavenly Father's will. The Holy Spirit is real and knew how Christ would feel as he was to die on that old rugged cross. He takes us through valleys and storms when things don't go right. All of us has been there one time or another. My twin brother and his family is going through it now. His oldest daughter, just 42 years old, has had 3 heart surgeries in the last 4 weeks. We don't understand it. She's got they call it scar tissue around the aorta of the heart. Yesterday they found another place near the heart that was bleeding, and they had to fly her back to Asheville. And another surgery around midnight last night. You see, this is a valley that my brother and his family is going through. They don't understand it. They're Christian people. But you know, a lot of times things happen in our life that we don't have an answer for. We just have to trust God. We have to trust God for his will, and sometimes that's not always easy when we go through a storm, especially when it comes to a loved one, whether it be their health or what they have to go through. And here David, the Psalm of David, was crying out to God. He felt like that God had abandoned him, and he wanted to make sure that God was listening. Look at verse number 3 that we read in the scriptures. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. This speaks of the praises of the Holy One. David knew that God was holy. He knew who the Almighty God was. And he had a shift of attitude here. He wanted to speak praises to the Holy One, and the Holy Spirit who worked through David's heart knew the Son of God would one day be the Holy of Holies. And you see, even today, we as believers know that our life needs to be holy as we live a Christian life. Jesus was the Almighty God. He was holy, but he expects us as his children to live a holy life. We don't need to be mixed up in sin, throughout every day of the week. There's people living in sin now, whether it be wrong relationships, whether it be evil, chaos, you name it. Our world's in a mess. All you got to do is turn on the news. Our world's in a mess. We need to pray for this election coming up. Some have dropped out. Some have dropped out. We look at the men that are running. No, there's some things we don't like about them. There's some things we might like about them, but we have to pray for them because they're going to need God's wisdom. But to be holy, to live a holy life, if we love this book and we love the Lord Jesus, we want to live a holy life. We've got to move on. Look at verse number 7. It says, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head." Can you imagine? David knew how our Savior was going to be treated. David knew that when this Son of God walked the hill of Golgotha, that he was going to have to suffer. He was going to have to go through a public nature of his suffering and his death. And here the Psalm of David, through the Holy Spirit, already knew how agonizing, how painful, how shameful when it came to the death of our Savior. He was visualizing this in his mind, and the Holy Spirit helped him. The Holy Spirit already knew through David that the Son of God, he would face mocking. He would face people spitting upon him, the torture that he had to go through. David knew this was going to happen. The Heavenly Father already had it all planned, and David knew what our Savior was going to have to go through to die for the sins of the world. Back over in Matthew chapter 27, there's a few more verses I want to read out of this chapter. It's found in chapter 27, verses 27 through 31. I want you to listen to these verses, chapter 27, 27 through 31. It says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in the right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, the King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." You see, there in Matthew, somewhere close to 1,000 years later, what our Lord had to go through. He already knew it. He knew what our Savior was going to have to go through, and he tells about it here in chapter 22. These verses that we read a while ago, verses 14 through 17. These verses get a little bit more intense. They describe the dehydration, the loss of body fluids, the disjointed position of bones in Christ's body. I can't imagine. Intense thirst, piercing of his hands and feet, and his unclothed state. Sometimes when we think about it, we see what Christ went through for salvation for us. I want to read those verses again, 14 through 17. It says, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." In verse 17, "I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me." I don't know if you've ever thought about this or ever imagined it, but I can't imagine having nails driven through your hands and your feet. I can't think of any worse torture. But David knew that the Son of God would go through this. He would go through it for all mankind and for the sins of the world. But if you break this down as far as exactly what Christ went through, the body fluids they had talked about is his oxygen would be cut off. He would bleed. He would sweat. His digestive juices would diminish. What about his disjointed bones? Can you imagine the bones in his back when he was on that cross? The bones in his hand and feet. I can't imagine. The intense thirst. You know, all of us has been thirsty in the summertime where we could drink two or three drinks when it's 9 degrees. Can you imagine what our Savior went through? Intense thirst, no cold drinks, the piercing of his hands and feet, the nails that were driven into his body. He was stripped of his clothing. You see what the Son of God would go through already predicted here in Psalms 22, and it was foretold by the Holy Spirit of God. How amazing and how wonderful to know that we had a Savior that went to the old rugged cross and died for us. He shed his blood. He went through pain and torture for all mankind. The ones of us that's been saved and born again, we can praise God for it. Because we've accepted him as our personal Savior. We know what he did on the cross. He did it for each and every one of us. And you know, when he died on the cross and we have salvation, guess what? We have eternal life too. Lost people don't have eternal life. Lost people don't know what it is, what eternal life is all about. Look at verse number 18. This tells of his gambling away of his garments by his executors. It says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my venture. The shame that our Lord went through in front of the crowd, the shame he went through for all of us to save the world. The executors didn't care what humiliation or what shame that our Lord would go through. They didn't care. But you know, I think down deep in his heart, Jesus knew that he would go through all this pain, but he wanted to do it for all mankind. Look at verse number 19 that we read. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. This is a cry for help and a direct plea to God in both complaint and for help. You see, the Psalm of David realized his strength would always come from the Lord. He couldn't do it alone. He couldn't live his life, what he had to go through. He couldn't live it by himself. He had to have God's strength. You know, you compare that to us today, we have to have God's strength. Every single day, whether it's a good day, whether it's a bad day, we all have burdens, we all have people we've prayed for, we go through sickness, we have family members that go through sickness. We need God's help during these times. Verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. You see, David here in this psalm makes a desire plea to declare thy name in the midst of the people, and he will praise the name of the Lord. I believe there's times in our life when we need to praise God. They don't have to ever just be on Sunday. Right. Don't have to just be on Sunday. We have to praise him during the week. What he's done for us. You know, we get in a habit of going in prayer and we want to ask God to do this and do that, and that's okay. But we also need to spend time in prayer thanking him for just the small things. We were able to get out of the bed this morning, get up and get ready to go to church. During next week, most of us will be able to get out of the bed and either go to work or do things what we need to accomplish. That's a blessing in itself. There's some people that can't do that right now. We ought to be thankful for everything that he gives us and what we have in Christ. We've got people in our own church that's reached their 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I bet you they're drawing strength from the Lord. They're drawing strength every day because they have to have his strength to carry on. God's let them live a long life. We ought to be thankful for every day that we have. Look at verse number 23. It says, ye that fear the Lord, praise him, all ye the seed of Jacob. Glorify him and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. When the Holy Spirit worked through David here, he spoke of the fear of the Lord. This would have been a great and powerful statement for the crowd who was part of the crucifixion of Christ. God wants us to fear Him. We have to live that kind of life that we want to please Him every single day. We want to be a blessing to other people. We want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And we need to fear Him. You see, God's in control of everything, no matter what the condition our nation's in, no matter what valleys we go through, the burdens that we have for our family, our friends. God will always be there. But we need to fear Him. See, the crowd was part of His crucifixion of Christ. All people, not only here in Psalms 22, but even we people today had better fear God, fear His Word, fear His promises. You know, in today's world, I believe we're outnumbered when it comes to fearing God. There's a lot of people that's living their life. They don't fear God. They're living their life the way they want to. It doesn't matter what sin it is. Don't matter who it hurts. They're going to live their life the way they want to. There's a verse over here in Proverbs. It's in chapter 8. I think that you probably heard this verse, but in Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate." God wants us to live a life of humility. Yeah, there's times that we have to stand for what's right. There's times that we can get angry because of sin. But He wants us to have a life of humility, just like Jesus had. And then finally, in verse 25, Psalms 22, it says, "My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation, and I will pay my vows before them that fear Him." I think what he's trying to say here in verse 25 is the Lord is our ultimate source of praise. Since He's the one that gives us good gifts anyway, He gives us good things and good gifts. You see, we as believers should know our most ultimate praise should be to Him. Now, it's okay to praise our children. Some of you have grandchildren. That's okay. But don't forget to praise our Savior. Here in Psalms 22, He wanted us to know as readers that David perceived life with the Holy Spirit leading him, guiding him every step of the way, and knowing that the ultimate sacrifice for our sins was demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Himself. I hope that we as believers praise Him not just on Sunday, but during the week, things that go on, things that happen, answered prayer, things that He's done in our life. Yeah, we're going to go through valleys and storms and trials. He never promised that we would not, but He promised He'd go with us through those. I want to read a last verse in closing, and it's over in 1 John, toward the back of the New Testament, on 1 John chapter 2. It's actually verse 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Wow. If people could just get a glimpse of what Christ has done for us and the whole world, and of course us personally. If you and I have been saved and born again, boy, we have a lot to praise Him for. And yes, we're going to go through those storms and we're going to go through valleys and burdens, but as we go through them, boy, we know that Christ is right there with us. He already knows the outcome. We don't. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what the future is going to hold or what the outcome is going to be for a certain loved one, for a certain burden that we've been praying about, but we have to trust Him. We have to trust in Him. All righty, our time is up. This Psalms 22 was a blessing when I was going through that chapter, and I hope it was for you. Anybody have anything to add to the lesson? I want you to pray for the pastor at Lamb O'Clock Worship. Pray for our services. The Holy Spirit will be powerful. That we could have some visitors today. We should have a lot of visitors next Sunday. It's going to be Easter Sunday, so don't forget that. And don't forget about the services today here at 11 o'clock worship.